we think of heaven sometimes, people think that heaven is going to be a rather boring place. We're in a series of messages about heaven, and today I want to talk to you, preach a message about why heaven will not be boring. Heaven will not be boring. Those that are there right now are not bored, and those that are going in the future will not be bored. Sometimes people have the idea that we're going to go up there to heaven and we'll just sort of be floating around and we'll have harps to play and there'll be some big orchestra up there in heaven, and then we will have sort of a perpetual church service. That really upsets some people, wouldn't it? Because some people think church is boring. That may be some of the pastor's fault. Be careful how you say amen. I've been in some boring church services, but I hope ours is not, you don't find it boring. But a lot of people think, what are we going to do in heaven? I'm going to play a harp and sing gospel songs and just keep doing that and float around a while and then sing some more and float around a while, sing some more, and heaven is going to be boring. So these crazy ideas come from our minds and people who really don't know what the Scripture says. But I can tell you this. When we get to heaven, we will be perfectly satisfied with heaven. We're going to be perfectly satisfied with heaven. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, shared this epitaph, and this gives you an idea of what some people think. And I'll read it. Here lies a poor woman who always was tired, for she lived in a place where help wasn't hired. Her last words on earth were, "Dear friends, I'm going, where washing ain't done, nor sweeping, nor sewing. And everything there is exact to my wishes, for where they don't eat, there's no washing of dishes. Don't weep for me now, don't weep for me ever. I'm going to do nothing forever and ever." Sounds exciting, doesn't it? I'm going to do nothing forever and forever. And so some people look at heaven and say, boring. That it's really going to be a boring thing. Why would I want to go to heaven? Why do I want to go up there? Viktor Frankl, in a book that he wrote, Man in Search of Meaning, and I quote him, he says, "In actual fact, boredom is now causing and bringing psychiatrists more problems to solve than distress. And even worse, these problems are growing increasingly crucial." People are bored in this life. They look at things that are boring, and you hear little kids, 7, 8, 9 years of age, say, "I'm bored. This is boring." And they don't mind telling you that it is boring. And for some reason, we get the idea that heaven is going to be boring. One science fiction writer wrote these words. He said, "I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven." And notice the wording, "even more." Fearing heaven even more. "For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse." Can you imagine somebody thinking that about heaven? And thinking that it's going to be more boring than hell. Well, let me try to give you some reasons today that I believe in studying why heaven will not be boring. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 16 and verse 11. Heaven will not be boring because God is not boring. God is not boring. Psalm 16, one verse. Here, he says it this way, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence," in the presence of God, "is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." At the right hand of God, being in the presence of God, there are pleasures. Pleasures, lasting, real, genuine pleasures forevermore. In a book on heaven, Randy Alcorn wrote these words. Listen to them carefully, because we need to think about God and the fact that God could never possibly be boring. Our belief that heaven will be boring betrays the heresy that God is boring. There's no greater nonsense. Our desire for pleasure and the experience of joy come directly from God's hands. He made our taste buds, adrenaline, sex desires, and the nerve endings that convey pleasure to our brains. Likewise, our imaginations and our capacity for joy and exhilaration were made by the very God we accuse of being boring. Are we so arrogant that we imagine that human beings came up with the idea of having fun? It is not God who's boring, it's us. Did we invent wit and laughter, humor and laughter? No, God did. We'll never begin to exhaust God's sense of humor and his love for adventure. The real question is this: how could God not be bored with us? That's the real question. God gave us all of these things. God had such a great sense of humor, he made some of you and me. God had a great sense of humor. God is not boring. God gives us laughter. God gives us joy. God gives us emotions. God gives us all of these wonderful things to convey pleasure in our lives. God is the one who thought of it and who ordained it and put it in our minds, in our hearts, and in our society and in the world. God is not boring. And I promise you, according to this verse, we're not going to be bored in the presence of God. We'll be in his presence. And God could not possibly be boring. Just look at all God has done. Just look at all that God has created. Just look at the beauty and the color and the sounds and all of those things. God is not boring. And then heaven will not be boring because you will not be boring. Heaven will not be boring because you will not be boring. And thank God for these verses, we will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to be changed. And he states that twice there in those two verses. We will be changed. Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation is in heaven. There's a sense that our citizenship is already there. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He will change our vile body. It'll be fashioned like his glorious body. You see, we're going to be changed. I don't know why some of you are boring. I don't know why some of us are boring. But it's going to take a miracle of God for some, but it's going to happen. You may think you're boring, and you may be boring, but I promise you in heaven you're not going to be a boring person to be around. I'm around some people like that once in a while, and I really do get bored with it. And so do you. Don't look at me so pious. You know I'm telling the truth. You know it's true with you too. And that's just that way. But God may have to work harder on some of us than he does others to get us there. I can see husbands and wives saying, what a glorious day that's going to be. How wonderful that's going to be. But we'll be changed. How? Conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. It's a fact of the Word of God that we're going to be changed, and we will be wonderful, delightful people. Think about a little baby that's in a mother's womb and spends about that 9 months, somewhere thereabouts, and all of a sudden that baby is born into a whole different world. And just think of the limitations until that baby is born or changed. There in that embryonic stage, as a fetus, but a life, don't misunderstand me, but a complete life, a complete child. And there, just living in that little area for all of those 9 months, and all of a sudden, that baby is born into this big, huge, unbelievable world. So that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. We're going to be changed. We're going to have a new body. And we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not going to be boring people. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. We're going to be in heaven, heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's what's going to happen to us according to Hebrews 12:22-23. And so we'll be there with angels. Angels are magnificent beings. And I know that it'll be great to be in the company of angels. And we're not going to be bored in their company. And we're going to know that we have that relationship with others. Our friends in heaven are not going to be boring. That is a third reason for it. Our friends there are not going to be boring. Well, who are we going to be with? Well, Hebrews tells us that. Angels. And then the Old Testament saints. That's who he's referring to in Hebrews. And then the New Testament saints that have gone on before us. All of us are going to be there with God in heaven. What a wonderful thing it's going to be when the entire saved body of Christ and the Old Testament saints are together and we are rejoicing in the Lord. We're going to have some wonderful friends up there. Heaven will not be boring because our friends are in heaven. They will not be boring. We will not be boring. You see, our relationship there will be perfect. We don't have that kind of thing here. Sometimes down here, and if you'll be honest about it, sometimes you wonder, are they being totally honest with me? I hear what they're saying. Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a good friend even, and you're thinking, can I really believe what they're saying? What is their motive behind what they're saying? Do they honestly, without reservation, mean what they're saying, or are they just sort of manipulating me and that kind of thing? And oftentimes we wonder about that. We may not like to think like that, but we do. Our minds are that way. But in heaven, that'll all be gone. When we have friends there and they talk to us, we can believe everything they say. And we'll have conversations that are absolutely perfect and without any kind of problem whatsoever. Yet all of that other stuff will be gone. Think of a lot of the opportunities we're going to have to fellowship with people in heaven. But we don't have to get in a hurry in heaven. You're in a hurry now. You say, hurry up. I'm hungry. I want to go eat. We're not going to have to be in a hurry in heaven, are we? We have forever and forever and forever that we're going to be in heaven. And so we can just take our time and visit with whomever we'd like to visit with whenever we want to at certain times. We'll just go visit with them. I'm looking forward to spending a little time with Abraham. And say, Abraham, tell me about all that stuff and what you think about it. And what happened? What really happened? Isaac and Jacob. Jacob, tell me about that. You were called the supplanter. Let's talk about that a little bit. And the different ones. I want to see Noah. I want to see Moses. You say, well, you'll never see him. I believe I will. I don't believe God's going to limit our fellowship in heaven. I believe I'll get to see him. I'll get to be with him. I believe I'll get to meet Hudson Taylor someday. I believe I'll get to meet Jim Elliot someday. And many of the great missionaries that have gone on before, I believe we'll get to see them someday. I'm looking forward someday to meeting one of the main men who was a founder and helped in founding Independent Baptist Church and fundamentalism, J. Frank Norris. I'm going to sit down with him and have a long talk with J. Frank Norris and just tell me about it. He was a great man of God, a great mind. I could tell you a whole lot about him. He wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. I want to sit down with B.R. Lakin. I used to have B.R. Lakin preach revivals at our church. Just before he died, he was with us, and we'd take him a few little things in his motel room. His voice was so weak. when he got up to preach, he put that microphone as high as he could, and he'd just preach away. It wasn't long until B.R. Lakin was with the Lord. I look forward to seeing Lee Robertson up there. Had the privilege of having him at my church, and he was a gracious man. Those of you, how many of you knew Dr. Lee Robertson? Raise your hand. What a gracious man he was. One of the great churches in America. He's with the Lord. I want to sit down and talk to him. I want to talk to Brother Tom Malone. So you remember that gravelly voice Tom Malone had. What a great preacher he was. We'll get to talk and spend time. I'm going to look up the preacher that was preaching the night I got saved. I remember the pastor's name. His name was Gaddis. Right now, I cannot remember, and I've got to talk to my sister again and get her to stir up my memory about it. But I know where the guy lived that preached the night in a revival meeting. We'd go by there in the big city of Start, Louisiana. My daddy used to say when we'd go through there, now we're going to Start. It was a big, thriving metropolis of about 200 people. And I remember where that pastor lived. I'm going to look him up and tell him I appreciate the fact that he preached the gospel that night in that little country church and a little revival. Probably nobody thought any great thing was going to happen that night, and a number of us got saved, and thank God for it. So I'm going to spend some time with him. Just think about the fellowship we're going to have in heaven with people in a perfect atmosphere and people that will have perfect hearts. And then heaven won't be boring because your work will not be boring. Immediately I hear somebody say, work? Heaven? I thought we were getting out of heaven so we wouldn't have to work. Reminds me of, what was his name, Dobie Gillis or something like that. And that was on the Gilligan's Island. He was always like, work? And he'd take off running. Well, it's not going to be the kind of work we have here that we don't like. It's going to be a good kind of work. We're not going to be bored in heaven. We're going to be doing something. What are we going to be doing? Serving God. Listen to the Word of God, Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, John. Revelation 7:3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before the throne of God. They're before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They're serving. Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. His servants will serve him. We're going to be busy in heaven. We're going to be serving God. Servant implies servants. Service implies that there's something to be done, task to be done. God is not going to say to us, I heard someone say this, God is not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Relax forever. You can just take off forever. You can retire forever. That's not what God says when we get there. He doesn't say, welcome, just retire, just go off and do nothing. Here's what he says. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you what? Ruler over many things. Ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God's going to put us and place us with something to do in his economy in heaven. And whatever we're going to be doing, it's going to be delightful. And as he gives us work to do, we're going to want more work to do. We're going to want to serve him more and keep doing that. I wish we could get that in our minds down here. We ought to rehearse a little bit for that, shouldn't we? There are some people that They have this little dab of do-ya Christianity. They come on Sunday morning, and you don't see them anymore. They don't get involved. They don't serve. They don't win souls. They don't give. They don't tithe. They don't do that. That's just them. But I like the fact that God tells us we are his servants, and we're his servants now. And we're going to be his servants in heaven. If we're faithful over a few things, he'll make us ruler over many things. We'll be in the thousand-year millennium with him. Boy, what a day that's going to be. And we're going to enjoy the thousand-year millennium. We're going to serve him. He will be the king on the throne. There'll be a lot for us to do. And that's the way God's going to do it with our lives in eternity. Another writer has said this, what will it be? What will it be to perform a task, to build, to create, knowing that what we're doing will last forever and ever? What will it be like to always be gaining skills that our best work will always be ahead of us? Because our minds and bodies will never fade, and because we will never lack resources and opportunity, our work won't degenerate. Buildings won't last for only 50 years. Books won't be in print for only 20 years. They'll last forever. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And what we do up there is going to be eternally blessed. Everything in heaven will have eternity stamped on it. This is an eternal thing. I don't know what all we'll be doing, but we'll be doing something. By the way, what is available out there in the universe? Do you know? None of us know. God has created so many things. Who knows where we'll be, what we'll be doing. We'll be serving God, and we'll enjoy every second of it. And there will be, it will be glorious. It'll be marvelous. You will never, ever, 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 ever get bored in eternity. If you're in heaven, you're not going to get bored. Then heaven will not be boring because it fulfills every longing that we have. Heaven will fulfill every longing that you have. Romans 8:21-23. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Not only is man going to be have a better situation, but the creatures, the animals, all of that were under the curse. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That's why we have earthquakes, and that's why we have volcanoes, and that's why we have hurricanes, and that's why we have tornadoes, that's why we have all of these things that go on the earth. We know the whole creation groaneth, travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, human beings which have the first fruits of the Spirit, saved people, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for something. What are we waiting for? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. What a glorious day that's going to be. Marvelous day. In other words, we have a longing that God has put in our heart to get to the last chapter and find out what really happened. Do you ever cheat on a book and go to the last chapter right quick? That's really no fun. It shouldn't be, but sometimes you just can't wait and you say, I'm going to go to the last chapter, see exactly what happens. There's something in us that God has put in us, a void, a place in our spirit, in our soul, that will never, ever, 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 ever be satisfied until when? Until we get to heaven. Only when we get to heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He's made everything beautiful in his time. Set the world, set heaven in their heart. Mark Buchanan said this, here's the surprise. God has made us this way. He made us to yearn, to always be hungry for something we can't get, to always be missing something we can't find, to always be disappointed with what we receive, to always have an insatiable emptiness that no thing can fill, and an untamable restlessness that no discovery can still. Yearning itself is healthy, a kind of compass inside us, pointing us toward true north. Where's heaven? We pointed that out earlier, that is true north, as far as the Bible goes. But there's a void. Nothing else is going to fill up. Nothing. I don't care what you achieve. I don't care what happens. Everything in heaven, though, everything in heaven will bring perfect satisfaction. Everything in heaven will bring reward. Everything in heaven will bring absolute joy in our lives. And there will be no activity in heaven that will leave us feeling like we've failed or we fall short or we were falling short, or that we were not satisfied. It isn't going to happen in heaven. Heaven is everything you've ever been looking for. everything you've ever been looking for. You, in this life, sometimes we think that if I can just get this or I can just get that, some guys work and work hard and they get a big promotion, they get a nice office over here and they get all the nice furniture and they go in and they walk in that office and they sit down in that office and they sit there a little while and they are thinking, is this it? This is it? And somehow, even after that, they feel guilty about it and feel like, really, this is not going to satisfy me. And we've all gone through all of that with a number of different things in our life, a new house, a new car, whatever it might be, and we think, this is going to satisfy me from now on. But there's always something lacking. We know that that is that void that God has put in our heart, and God has put there. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Wow, you talk about boring. That will be boring. Let me read that verse again. It's talking about unsaved people. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished, that's the unsaved, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You talk about, I've had people tell me, well, I'm not going to be bored. Listen, if you're shut out of heaven, you're going to be bored. You know the rich man that we studied about in one of these messages already, Luke 16? When he is speaking and when he is talking, he's alone. He's alone. I believe hell will be solitary confinement for each individual. I believe it's going to be horrible, terrible. I had a man tell me one time, he's no relation to me, his name was Weaver, and I've shared this with you at least once before, but I remember talking to him, I was trying to get him saved, he was dying with cancer, they told him he only had hours left, hours. And I was trying to get the man to come to Christ, and he wouldn't get saved, and he laughed at me, and this man, probably about 70 years of age maybe, he laughed at me, he said, look, Reverend, bury me in a rubber casket and put some whiskey in there and some cards and that kind of thing, and I'll bounce right through hell and meet my friends, and we'll enjoy hell for eternity. I said, oh, I'm afraid not. It won't be that way. You see, you're not going to be down there in hell with your friends having fun, drinking whiskey, women around, and gambling and doing all those things that everybody thinks will satisfy in this life. They're going to want all of that stuff and not have it. And hell will be a place, you talk about boring, solitary confinement and being punished by God in everlasting destruction from the presence of God forever and ever and ever. They'll be the bored ones. Those who are with Jesus will not be bored. Do you know heaven is your home? Do you know for sure that you're saved, and when you die, you're going to heaven? Friend, let me tell you, you want to go to heaven. It's a wonderful, glorious, marvelous place. Probably if God would have told us everything about heaven, we'd want to die just to get there. We'd just almost say, God, take me on. Heaven is a wonderful place. We talk about death. That's just relieving us from this body, taking us into heaven. Just like the rapture will do the same thing, basically not a whole lot of difference in some measure. Heaven is a wonderful, glorious, eternal, non-boring, fun, joyful, everlasting place only for those who are saved. Is heaven going to be your home? If not, you can take care of that this morning. So, well, I'm not sure. I want to be saved. Let me tell you how you do it. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You admit that you're lost. You admit that you're a sinner. And Jesus said, I'm the only way to heaven. I've said it many times. I'll say it many more times. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You must be born again, Jesus said. You've got to be born again. When you were born in this world, your spirit was messed up. You're dead in your trespasses and sin, all of us. We have to have a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Thank God he paid for our sin debt. He paid our sin debt and paid for our sins. And you, if you'll trust him, then you can have heaven. I'm not just talking about believing he existed or believing he was a good moral example or believing he was a good man. I'm talking about coming to grips with the fact that, hey, I'm a sinner and Jesus died for me and I want to go to heaven and I want to be sure that I'm going to that place and not hell. Hell is going to be horrible and boring. Heaven is going to be wonderful forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever without end. It's going to be that way. Heaven will be grand forever. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed just a moment as we pray. Then I'm going to invite you, if you're not saved, not sure of it, to step to the aisle nearest you, walk down to the front. This happens all the time in our church. You're not going to be singled out as somebody doing something unusual. You just step out to the aisle near you and come to the front. We have workers who will take the Bible immediately and show you how to be saved. Just tell them, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to that boring place called hell. I want to go to heaven, and I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And may I say to you that are believers, if our citizenship is already in heaven, we ought to be living like it, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be living like it? If our citizenship is already there, and I'm asking you today, are you living the Christian life like it's boring, trying to find satisfaction in drugs and sex, materialism, all of that? You're not going to find it there, Christian. You'll never find the ultimate thing. The only peace you're going to have, you have peace with God through Jesus and the peace of God on your life when you're walking in His will. We ought to practice a little bit for the joys of heaven. Father, speak to our hearts now. Oh God, I pray if somebody is here without Christ, that they trust Him as Savior today before it's too late, before it's eternally too late. Help those of us that are believers that we would search our hearts, and if you point anything out to us that is not right, we need to do something about it. Help us to do it today. In Christ's name, amen.